WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The political map of the world has changed dramatically in recent years as new nations emerge and old ones break up. And with this has come a revision of the linguistic map as well, as each new nation demands a language of its own. It may seem strange to Americans, but as linguist Jeff Nunberg reminds us, we almost went the same route ourselves once.
Back when the Ebonics controversy was at its height about a year ago, linguists were getting a lot of calls asking them to sort out the question of whether Black English was really a different language from Standard English. To the disappointment of the press, they tended to duck the question. You can't say whether two varieties belong to the same language just by looking at the words or constructions they use. There are cases where people identify distinct languages even when two varieties are grammatically similar and mutually intelligible, like Danish and Norwegian, Czech and Slovak, or Dutch and Afrikaans. And there are other cases where people perceive a single language even though its varieties are very far apart. The various dialects of Chinese, for example, are far more different from one another than French, Italian, and Spanish. In the end, languages are political constructions. As linguists like to put the point, a language is just a dialect with an army. There's a lot to this remark. In recent years, a number of nations have felt that a declaration of political independence required a declaration of linguistic independence as well. Until a few years ago, for example, the central part of the region formerly known as Yugoslavia was filled with a jumble of very similar dialects that were considered a single language, Serbo-Croatian. Apart from some differences in scholarly and philosophical vocabulary, the main thing that set the Serbs and Croats apart was that the Croats used the Latin alphabet and the Serbs often used the Cyrillic alphabet. It was only when the country of Yugoslavia broke up that the separate nations felt the need to distinguish three languages, Serbian, Croatian, and Bosnian. As one Sarajevo professor described the situation, "I used to think I was bad at languages, but I woke up one morning to find I was trilingual." At present, the three languages are a lot closer than the English of New York, London, and Melbourne. But the Serbs and Croats are doing all they can to change that. They've each got their academies working nights to devise distinctive vocabulary and new spellings, apparently with the ultimate aim of achieving complete incomprehensibility with their neighbors. It may all seem a little alien to us, but we should bear in mind that we Americans went through a very similar experience 200 years ago. In the period following the American Revolution, there were a lot of people who believed the American language would naturally go its separate way from English once it was free from what they like to describe as the feudal establishments of England. As the patriot William Thornton told Americans in 1793, "You have corrected the dangerous doctrines of European powers. Correct now the languages you have imported. The American language will thus be as distinct as the government." The idea of declaring American a separate language was enormously popular at the time. Its supporters included Adams, Jefferson, and most notably the great lexicographer Noah Webster. To distinguish the American language symbolically from its English ancestor, Webster devised a number of new spellings. He dropped the U in words like honor and favor, flipped the R and the E of theater and meter, changed the C in defense to an S, and so forth. Most of these are still with us, of course, a little token of national linguistic pride, though NASA seems to have lost track of this point when they spelled the name of the space shuttle Endeavour with a U. In the end, though, those spelling differences are the only legacy of the episode. The idea of declaring American a separate language took a while to die out, particularly among American writers who wanted to liberate our literature from what they regarded as an obsequious deference to British models. As Walt Whitman proclaimed, "The new world, the new times, the new peoples need a tongue according." But by the middle of the 19th century, most Americans were willing to concede that they still spoke the same language that the English did. And the English more or less returned the favor. Still, you have to wonder what would have happened if Webster's view had won the day and America and Britain had gone on to develop mutually incomprehensible languages, the way the former Yugoslavians are doing now. Probably it would have been our loss in the end. After all, Alistair Cook is a small price to pay for Absolutely Fabulous and Emma Peel.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.